each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. There she comes, Christina. I was wondering, where is everybody? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We're still in the Christmas season.
Yes, we are.
Antonio, is he?
He's right there.
He's okay. You guys make me nervous.
Running in the studio as always.
This is going to be your resolution for the new year, that you come, 5 minutes at least before the show begins.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Maybe 10 minutes. That would be even better. So,
yes.
But anyway, I just got in too. So Nick was...
was he having a...
We give him a heart attack every time we do the show. He doesn't know what's going to, if we're going to be here or not. Anyway, so I've been talking all morning.
Yes, you have. Oh.
So I don't feel like talking, so you guys are going to have to do the talking today. We're getting ready for the festivities of the new year. For us, it's really the Feast of the Holy Family, and right then into the Feast of the Holy Mother of God. So we have Midnight Mass. It's always a very, very peaceful, very quiet Midnight Mass. A lot of places don't have it.
No, they don't.
But we do. And
and what better way to start the new year?
Absolutely, yeah.
What time will the Midnight Mass start?
Like at midnight, okay.
That's the million-dollar question.
Like at midnight,
Okay.
Like they say.
Mm-hmm.
People say that all the time. Like at midnight. I don't do that. I say kind of, but not like at midnight. But it'll be at midnight for sure. So we have a full day Sunday, then we have midnight, and then we have a full day on Monday. And then we'll end at 7 o'clock Monday evening. And so I'm already making preparations. And, my preparations are, I don't know, Christine, if you saw my office, I've got the Polish books.
Yes.
I've got the Spanish books. So I've got to juggle all these
letters. And then all these letters, I left more letters on there.
I saw that.
Left more.
Did you really?
Just now coming down. That's why I was late.
Okay. All right. That means my work is cut out for me for the afternoon.
Yes.
No rest for the weekend.
You think you're done, and I was thinking of doing something, and I haven't even done that because other stuff was just thrown at me.
That's right. Thrown at you. Who threw it at you? Nobody should throw anything at you. I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I just want to go on the record to say that you didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
It's funny. It's just the way you said it. It's like, I didn't do it.
The parish did.
So the people don't get the wrong impression.
No.
Right.
No, it's just that. Incoming calls and messages.
I'm a very benevolent boss.
Yeah.
I never call myself a boss. I'm just saying.
Say leader.
A leader. A pastor.
The pastor.
Shepherd. Anyway, so what do we want? I tell you, you think you get the whole morning to kind of prepare for this or that or whatever, and it just everything just
you
flies.
Never know what's going to come in.
I had to go pick up a few things because, as I say, we're going into this marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't say. It sounds maybe sacrilegious to say that, but I don't mean it that way. It's just going to be
it'll
be grueling. Yeah.
Sure.
But it's beautiful. God gives the grace.
Yes, He does.
And I don't complain about it. It's just getting into it, But I hear from what I hear, there's supposed to be snow again starting today. Starting like right now, I thought I heard it at noon. Supposed to start.
Well, it's nice out there.
Is it nice?
Yeah, it's not.
It's nice out there.
So they weren't telling the truth, but that's what I
heard
on the radio.
I never pay attention to that anyway, because a lot of times they don't. I don't think it's a science that you know exact.
You don't think so?
No.
Perhaps not. No, of course not. I don't know. But they can more or less
Sometimes they say, hey, it's going to snow and it's only going to be 3 inches.
They say, hey, it's going to
hey,
hey,
it's going to snow for like 3 inches and then it's a foot and snowing for weeks.
Yeah, I once, nobody knows. I once responded to a t-shirt and I said, hey.
Hay's for horses.
And she said, hay is for horses, right. Yeah, not for, you know. I forgot what I, in what context I said that. I didn't mean to be disrespectful.
But like you say something, hey, can I talk
to
you?
Oh, hey, by the way, by the way, yeah.
Whatever. Hay is for horses.
Hay is for horses.
I know, but I'm not going to eat it. That's what
I wanted to say, but you know, I'm not going to say what I was going
to
say.
But you know what I'm trying to say. You know. Get the picture, right?
Anyway, we could do our catechesis for the new year.
Well, let's
just
say,
so the new year, I just want to, you know, pick up where we left off yesterday, not the self-complimenting. We did so much of that yesterday, which was really fun, I thought. And
but just woke up with my back hurting today because all the patting on the back.
Patting on the back, yeah.
Oh my gosh. She's all bruised up, right?
Right, it's all bruised up. Somebody's going to do it.
Sure, sure. But the this is resolution time, the new year. And so I think we should resolve to give ourselves completely, trustingly over to Almighty God. Since we're going into the new year, you know, we go in with this commitment to persevere in humility, recognizing our absolute and total need for God, and surrender, just the surrender. I'm going to surrender my life to you. We should be doing this every day.
Right.
But I'm saying, you know, in this year, because I tell you, I didn't bring this down purposely because I didn't want to get into the whole stuff of this. And maybe we might do it next week. I don't know. But I was reading something. This came out of the Catholic, it's a Vatican magazine. It got some great articles. I forgot the name of it now. I always read it, and I forgot the name of the magazine. But anyway, there's this huge article on the, and how's it entitled? Sexploitive. I don't know. Anyway, it has something to do with sexuality and the society, and it's an evaluation of looking very closely at what happened with the priests, and now what's happening with the media, people in Hollywood, politicians, teachers, and the like. And the article is fantastic because it really raises the question, why not? When you're just inundated, you're just saturated, you're exposed to images, the whole psychology. But anyway, the article was really, really well done, and I forgot the priest who wrote it. He's very popular, very well known. That's where my mind is today. But he speaks about the church, how the church had been ridiculed, made fun of, our moral foundation, our morality, our principles, our faith. You know, we're going back to the 60s and perhaps even before that. Certainly, it just didn't just happen, but there was the great big sexual revolution of the 1960s that, in essence, gave a green light, a license to do just about anything. And then, of course, you put that alongside the media, where there was this this rapid deterioration in morality and also perpetuation of immorality or suggestive, not just suggestive, but it was almost an invitation to do whatever, whenever, however, whatever, and it's just further deteriorated down through the years. When you think of the music, and you really listen to the lyrics. Yeah. Of all that, he was saying, why not? Why are we surprised by all this and the hypocrisy of it all? We've talked about this before, but he ends this article. I probably should have brought it down here but I did. I just read it. I just read it, in the midst of all things this morning. But it comes right back down to the family and to faith and to the commandments of God and to our moral teachings, our precepts, and that if we would put confidence in this that has been handed down to us, then we would have the remedy to the sickness that is enveloped the society so much so that and in doing it, when I'm saying this, I realize, and we have to have this great sensitivity to the fact that no family, I can't think of a family that's been, that has gone through this unscathed, so that there is great division within marriage, division within the family. There's the, I think we might have even spoken about it the other day, and I always talk about this diabolical disorientation where everything is flipped upside down. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. And the redefining of marriage, the, I mean, where does it all stop? Where does it all stop? But so as we're preparing for the Feast of the Holy Family, the Feast of the Holy Mother of God, it's as if to say today, in the climate of our time, this is so countercultural. It's almost, I dare say, it's almost something that people simply cannot any longer relate to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. Right. So where am I confused? I'm confused myself. I think there's a desire for family. I don't, family's not going to go away. We need family. We can redefine the family. We've had to, in some ways, accept the fact that there has been a redefinition of family and what constitutes a family. But we're talking about the nuclear family, mm-hmm. where there is a father, where there is a mother, where they are committed to each other in Christ, as we would speak of sacramental marriage, and that from the union of these two human beings, this man and this woman, children are brought forth. Mm-hmm. And this becomes the domestic church, where the seeds of faith are sown, and children are raised to be good citizens of the land, to be law-abiding, God-fearing, which means that they have utmost respect for God, and that they grow up understanding the need to be to bear responsibility, to fulfill obligation, and to enter into sacrificial love, which characterizes Christianity, the life of Christians, should, certainly. But the society at large militates against all that, so that it's been, and sad to say, but it's been ridiculed, it's been made fun of, it's been deemed archaic, antiquated, and well, what is the result? Is it seems more and more dysfunctional society. Mm-hmm. So if you talk about a dysfunctional family, dysfunctional families breed a dysfunction in the society. And this is what we experience. And so because we're all affected by it, we all have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly it's not, you know, we have to make a proper judgment, but not, you know, okay, take the speck out of your, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. So I have to look at myself, but we have to have the willingness to humbly look at ourselves and look at our families or look at our immediate situation and see, okay, where do we need to improve? How do we bring healing? How do we move forward? Rather than expect that, well, we're going to have to redefine God or rewrite the laws of God, we have to humbly recognize, as did the people in the exile, going back to the Old Testament, that they had deviated, that they had turned away from God or the ways of God, and they were suffering the consequences. And so they had to humbly decide to return to God and to allow God's grace to bring the needed healing and to restore unity and harmony and peace, not only to individuals and to families, but to the society. But how hard that is today, because we haven't yet, I don't think, come to that point of collective responsibility, mm-hmm. that we bear collective guilt, mm-hmm. and therefore we have a collective responsibility to set things right when the media, Hollywood, in the school systems, institutions of education, continue to perpetuate or perpetrate a way of thinking and behaving mm-hmm. that is radically contrary to the gospel message, to the teachings of Christ, to the Decalogue, to the commandments of God. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
You know, this is overwhelming in a sense.
It is, yeah.
That's why I'm listening. It's not what people, A, I think, want to hear, mm-hmm. and B, know to be true. You know, I think about...
Know to be true. That's a good,
know to
okay,
be true,
explain
right.
Explain that, yeah.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Explain both.
Okay, well, nobody wants to hear that because I think it's easier to say, well, let's throw money at a situation and, you know, it'll help it. You know, I think part of a lot of what our problems lie in is just the fact that we've lost our way, in a sense. You know, people don't acknowledge God. People don't acknowledge, you know, fine morals. You know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, today is about we can do anything now.
Anything goes.
Everything goes. So, you know what? Let's fix the problem from that point on instead of saying, wait a minute, anything goes is what has caused the problem now. So I think people, you know, are tricked into this sense of, well, this is what it is now. So, well, maybe we should be a little bit more understanding and we should not, you know, pick on people. You know what I mean? Saying we should accept this. And I don't think that's the key. The key is what you just described. This is where it started. You know, the problem is not... We can't say now, okay, this is where we're at, so let's just accept things the way they are. Let everything go, because that's not going to fix it. It's going to cause more and more down the line, because the initial thing is, okay, maybe this is not the right thing to do.
So there's got to be a collective reawakening, right. Mm-hmm. to, I say, you know, the realization that we've lost our way,
mm-hmm.
that we've... that we need to take responsibility, we need to correct mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. What you said, and this is, I think, even as I find myself doing this as well, because on one hand, okay, I absolutely, as I said yesterday, you know, there's this part of me that is very, very much bohemian. And I don't know if people understand when I say that, what does that mean?
Hippie.
Well, not hippie,
not
but...
really hippie.
But. I was never into the... I come from a military right. background, so I wasn't raised in the military. Military family,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and so I was the oldest, second oldest. Mm-hmm. I was first oldest son, but the second oldest. There were eight of us, as I said, I think yesterday. But for some reason, I took very seriously the need to be obedient to the law, to have a discipline in my life, and I've carried that all through my life. I'm certainly far from perfect, and I would say that I'm guilty of laziness and sloth and all that kind of stuff.
As we are.
The just man sins seven times a day, and so mm-hmm. I sin 70 times seven. That's what Jesus said, forgive 70 times seven, right? But no, I hope I don't sin 70 times seven, but, you know, there's a sins of omission, things we mm-hmm. could do that we don't do. But the point I'm saying is that the bohemian part of me is, because I am drawn to, and I'm very much attracted, Christine would attest to this, I think, to eccentric people, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm an eccentric, but how do you define eccentric? I don't know, but people that are free spirits, free, you know, spirit. And they, you know, I could easily, and I do that, you know, when I'm on a sabbatical or if I'm mm-hmm. on a vacation, I like to be in the city. I like to roam and to walk and to mm-hmm. listen and to.
You like to roam and roam.
Roam.
Roam and roam.
Yeah. But a part of me envies, mm-hmm. you know, those who have that kind of freedom, that kind of free spirit. But I can't. But I'm so bound to the law. Mm-hmm. I hope not in a rigid way, because I think there has to be a balance.
That's right. You know, balance.
A balance. But I know that. But I have this a real sense of responsibility and obligation. And I probably mentioned this on the radio before, but my father, I just remember a couple of times he did this. He would line us up and, you know, from the oldest to the youngest, and he would say, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, you represent not yourself, but people see you, they see your father, they see your mother, they see your brothers and sisters. And so I always took that very, very serious, that, you know, I represent mm-hmm. others besides myself. So that I am my father, I am my mother, I am my brothers and sisters. And of course, that translates to the faith, right, to the church. Mm-hmm. I represent Christ, I represent the people of God. I have, you know, but again, I'm far from perfect. But to have the humility, and this isn't patting myself on the back, mm-hmm. but I do think I have that humility to know that I need God's grace, that I can't do this myself, you know, there, but by the grace of God go I, as St. Paul said, that, gosh, that could be me anywhere, you know, anybody who's fallen, it could be. But I cleave to Christ, and I cleave to the faith because it is my salvation. It saves me from myself. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
Saves me for myself. But as a society, so you said something, I don't remember exactly how you said it, but do we even want to?
Yeah.
Because, see, if we think that we no longer need God, as I've heard many people say, most people, because we're made for God, so, okay, I want God, but I want God on my terms.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of meant, because the way you described being obedient, but in relation to others, I believe the opposite for people today is it's about me. It's about mm-hmm. me. I can't think about others. And so that's what I mean. I think some people like that are either duped into thinking that this is the way life is, or they can't see that the talk we're having, which kind of really starts at the beginning of a problem, when you have a problem, nobody wants to talk about the things we're talking about now. They want to just, okay, well, you know what? Maybe we should be nicer to each other, and maybe we should throw money at something. That'll fix it. But the fix, like family, you can't fix it that way.
So okay, we got to take a break, but mm-hmm. we want to come back to that, and I want to mention, I had a conversation the other day with somebody. It was very interesting, mm-hmm. and it made me think again about our message and how we message the, say, quote unquote, good news mm-hmm. of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. How do we do that? What most identifies who we are? Because and all this has to do with, you know, we're going into a new year. Mm-hmm. I think we need to take a good look at what's happening all around us. We know that we're in a very volatile situation. At least some of us recognize that. Things are really skewed mm-hmm. in a dangerous way, because certainly when you, and this is where, you know, I feel very, very much for the young people. Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday was a Feast of the Holy Innocents. You know, Herod, in trying to destroy, I mean, spoken very clearly in the gospel when he found out he wanted to destroy the infant Christ. And in the hope that he would do it, he slaughtered the innocents, all the young boys, the babies. We live in a society where we seem to want to destroy anything or anyone who gets in the way of my freedom to what it's really the free reign of the flesh, to do whatever I want. And so there's justification for abortion. Our society has made justification for abortion. But apart from that, the killing of the unborn, it's what are we doing to the psyche of our young people when they're, we're adults, and I know how things have changed in the course of my life, but if I were 12 years old today, as opposed to 12 years old back in, the late 1960s, could I possibly withstand the just being inundated with the stuff that these kids are being inundated with?
Yeah.
On a sitcom, on the television, in a movie, in the internet. I mean, my gosh, they've got access to anything and everything, and all kinds of dark stuff. How do you, at that age, protect yourself or not be affected by the allure of this stuff that is really terribly dangerously enslaving to these young people? And by its very nature, this garbage that is being projected, put into the minds, is by its very nature enslaving. It creates sickness. Mm-hmm. And so there is a sickness that is very prevalent in the society. And until we recognize that and decide we're going to do something about it, but when we have this allergic reaction to Judeo-Christian principles and values, the faith, and people will go out of the way to, with their own manner of hostility, to make fun of or to diminish or put down or, you get the point, all the... So I say, as we're going into the new year, it's knowing what is the reality as I recognize it. Others may not want to, as you said, they don't want to because it means what? Well, the very reason why Jesus was crucified was because he was the conscience of the people, and they didn't want their consciences to be bothered. Mm-hmm. Because the truth, I always go back to this, the truth is written into our hearts. Mm-hmm. The commandments are written into our hearts. We know right from wrong. The other day, the day after Christmas, the Feast of St. Stephen, I think I read it here. As he was speaking to the Pharisees and to the scribes and to the priests, they were gnashing their teeth and they were holding their ears, they were trying to block the message. Mm-hmm. They didn't want the message, and so they stone him to death, because they didn't want. And are we not in such a situation today? People don't want the truth. But we'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to, don't let me forget, because you know how my mind is. But I had this conversation the other day, which was very interesting, about the message and messaging the message, our message. So, if that makes any sense, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer. before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. A happy New Year and Merry Christmas. We're still in the Christmas season, so I guess we're getting a little bit serious, but this is a concern. This is a genuine concern, because it's talking about message and messaging. I was talking to somebody the other day. We had a very interesting conversation, and it was challenging to me as well. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with he's got a mega church in Houston. Joel
Osteen.
Yeah.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, and so, you know, he's got, thousands upon thousands of people that go there. But it's the message is a very happy message. It's a happy gospel, from what I understand. I haven't, and I should take a look at it. And I did see something, you know, some months ago. I saw something on this, and I just can't relate to it. It's because for me, Yeah, in fact, I didn't bring it down with me, but I just wrote, I wrote it a week ago, but this weekend in the bulletin, I put, you know, it's called a joyful, that's a happy thing, right? Joyful proclamation that we will continue with the Ad Orientem. We're going to continue to face the East, priest and people facing together, offering the sacred mysteries. The sacrifice, entering into that sacrifice, because that's our fiat, that's our yes, our saying yes to the will of God and thanksgiving and gratitude for the redemption, that we're in need of redeeming, the redeeming grace, because we do come as sinners, and we acknowledge before Mass that we are sinners, and we, before we receive Holy Communion, the Supper of the Lamb, before we receive, again we acknowledge, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, say but only the word, and my soul will be healed. So we live with this realization that we need always the redeeming grace, the sanctifying, the salvific grace of the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was born to redeem us, to solidify, purify, and solidify the law, to take nothing away. And he's very, very clear about that. Very clear about that. And he's very, very clear about the fact that this is not an easy path. It's a difficult path. It's a way of the cross. He doesn't mince words. And we, in the Holy Mass, the sacred mysteries, the divine liturgy, as we call it, we come to be reminded, to be fed with God's word, to prepare to partake in the supper of the Lamb, the banquet of the Lamb, reception of Holy Communion. But between that is what is central to our worship and adoration of God, and that is the offering of Christ and our lives in Christ to the Father. So it's by very nature sacrificial. We call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So the joy, you know, as I said, joyful proclamation. The joyful proclamation is that we're asking God to make all things new, so that we can fulfill our mission, which is a mission to live sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. That's the essence of Christianity. In imitation of Jesus, in imitation of the saints, that's the essence of Christianity. But this is a Christianity that is rejected by many, if not most, people today. And so, if I were to speak the happy gospel, because I'm talking about a joy that is a joy that is known through sacrificial love. And this is related, by the way. So marriage is, by its very nature, sacrificial. But that's not a negative. To parent, to raise children, by its very nature, is sacrificial.
Yeah.
To be a priest, by its very nature, is to be sacrificial. For anybody, you know, Christina is single. She's not married. She's a committed Christian, a committed Catholic. She gives herself over and above to her work. It's sacrificial. So you say no to a lot of good things in order to fulfill a mission. This is sacrificial love, right? Mm-hmm. For the love of God and for the good of others. So this megachurch, which preaches very simply, in fact, you know, the person I was talking to said, really, he says that as you listen to it, and he said there's something to it, you know, he says he finds himself drawn to it, and others too, because it is a very positive, very, it's the happy gospel. It's about the very positive. Maybe it's just, see, I've got to listen to it, so I shouldn't say so much about it, but there is not the element of the sacrificial, I don't think. So if my religion is one that will bring me success, the old white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, Horatio Alger was an author who wrote some books, I think Raggedy Dick, whatever, but the you know, that God is a God who blesses us materially. In other words, if I obey God, God will reward me, and I will become successful, and I will be rich. And that's why, you know, often these mega preachers and all that, they're multimillionaires. I mean, they've got they got them all. They got it all. And it, but that's the it seems to me it's all justified because, well, this is a sign of God's blessing, you know. When people choose, when they point to the riches of the Vatican, for instance, you know, they say, well, if the Vatican would sell all those you know, the riches, the and I'm not going to get into all that because I don't know the status of the Vatican, but I do know that the Sistine or the museum, you know, that stuff that's part of our history, that stuff that has come down to us through the ages. And that belongs not to that belongs to the whole of the human race. You know, people go there because they want to see. This is a connection to the past. Great art, a great beauty. You know, this is so. And even if the church were to sell everything, you know, would that solve the problem of poverty? It wouldn't. No, maybe for a few days. And the other thing too is when people will criticize the church. For, you know, we have gold chalices, we have, you know, we use the best of God's, we should be using the best of God's creation for the worship of Almighty God, because this is God's creation. God created those precious stones. God created the gold and the silver and the, you know, all this is God's creation. So we use, and you go to any poor place in the world where, I think especially in South America or in Mexico, we've had these beautiful cathedrals and temples, and in some of them in very poor areas. But this belongs to the people. The people built it, just like this church here. This is a beautiful church. These were working class people who built this because this didn't belong to the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, but this belongs to the people. It belongs to the people. This is their place where they come in gather in sacred assembly for the common personal, private, and collective worship of Almighty God, where they have their connection in sacramental way, in a unique way, with God, and where they, you know, again, come to be fed, to offer their lives, to be fed with His Word, to offer their lives, to be fed with the Eucharist, so they can then, you know, be in the work of life, which is of its very nature sacrificial. Life is, you know, to have to go to work, anybody who has to go to work. Some people, a lot of people don't like their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Most
but,
people don't.
So, right. I hope you like your job, Christina.
It's sacrificial.
It's sacrificial. There are days that I don't like my job, you know. I don't like, I never think of it as a job. What?
I need to get a job over here.
No, we don't want people to get too close to the, you know, the inner workings of the church, because then they get disillusioned.
Right.
Because it is, it's not easy. Yeah. And
but if it's looked at as work, as sacrifice, that's the thing that's missing. People don't really, it's like you were talking about the happy church. Or, you know, I think about it. If somebody would come to me and say, well, come to my church, listen to the good word, it's all happy, happy, I would steer away from that, because life is not happy, happy. Mm-hmm. And Jesus died, there was a sacrifice there. Mm-hmm. There's, even if you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, you have to know that story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see that. And I don't know how anyone can then look and say, okay, well, I want to go to this church because it's happy all the time and God's blessed you because you've got something, but then you mean in all of that, there's got to be ups and downs. So how do they address the downs? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it could be, I don't know, maybe is there a certain denial, but I think it goes back to what you said earlier, that the people, they don't want this message.
Exactly.
They don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear
because it. Because with that comes responsibility. With that comes commitment, and people don't want sacrifice. And even when we're talking about the happy, happy church or the joy of the gospel, yeah, it's joyful because we know the end, you know, the victory is His. But the other day they were showing the movie of Mother Teresa, and we know her story. And even reading the autobiography, the work that she did for the poor, that was very sacrificial. And she had a peace, she had Christ's peace in her, but it was very challenging for her, and she was in darkness, not in a bad darkness, it's true. Just that because she saw the suffering, and it was very hard for her, and she felt her heart went out to those people.
And that's a good example, and I think that is the, you know, Pope John Paul II as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are two great saints around the world stage for mm-hmm. in our own lifetime. But I've heard this from many people, but he used to sometimes go to the top of the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
The papal palace, mm-hmm. you know, even to say papal palace, you know, it sounds so regal, but that comes from that era.
Mm-hmm.
But he would be found at the foot of the cross,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes weeping, you know. It's there's a great gift. See, Pope Francis often speaks of the throwaway society we live in, that if something hurts, get rid of it. You know, sometimes things have to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hurts sometimes to persevere in a marriage. I mean, again, we're not talking, it's a different thing when people are being abused in a mm-hmm. in a very horrible way. But, you know, again, how do you define abuse? Well, abuse is abuse. Mm-hmm. I don't like to even use a word.
Sure.
Where there's abuse and there needs to be some, something has to be dealt with, something has to be done. But because people, I mean, children are going to cause parents a lot of heartache,
mm-hmm.
A lot of suffering. They just do.
Sure.
My gosh, you're just giving birth to a baby. You know, it's It's a labor. It's very painful.
It's a labor of love.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But and as I say, to make a marriage work, it's work.
It's work. It's sacrifice.
It's not a honeymoon. See, nothing is. If we think we're going to have a lifelong honeymoon, then people are going to be so terribly disappointed, mm-hmm. and they are. Sure. And so they, you know, we can jump. And again, this is where, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking, you know, there's thoughts that are coming into my mind, sure. because I know situations. I know people who have been very much victimized by their marriages and have been left stranded. And how many women have been stranded by their husbands and left with the children? This is what's really astounding. But even today, how many husbands have been left, you know, with their children? The woman has taken off with another man, or mm-hmm. these days even another woman or something. This is the other thing. This is something that's very becoming more and more common, yes. that we're hearing about this here, right?
Yes.
And it's really sad. It's very, very sad. So there isn't this sense of sacrificial love and commitment, and that we weather the storms, we fight the good fight. We don't fight each other. We fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. We weather the storms, but if God isn't the foundation, mm-hmm. And this is okay. So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed Himself in Jesus, the message of Jesus is that this is not an easy path. It's a difficult path. It is the way of the cross, but it's the path that will lead you to life. Mm-hmm. Not only lead you to the homeland, but it'll bring, as you talk about Mother Teresa, or I think of Pope John mm-hmm. Paul II, or other people that I've seen and experienced yes. in my life who, you know, have the deepest joy, the deepest peace, mm-hmm. but they've suffered deeply, greatly. Yeah. And that peace and that joy comes from their ability or their choice mm-hmm. to cooperate with the grace of God, yeah. to reach out, to extend oneself mm-hmm. to God, to gaze on God, and say, Lord, and this is why I say when we go into the new year, we go with a commitment to perseverance, mm-hmm. a commitment to humility, recognizing our need for God, and a surrender, mm-hmm. an entrustment, the consecrating our lives to the Lord. Again, we look around, we see what's going on all around sure. us. And it's mind-boggling because mm-hmm. you say, well, what is the remedy? What's the solution to the disorder, the dysfunction, the confusion, that's going on in the society? But most especially, look at the young people. What are we doing? You know, Hollywood, the hypocrisy. I absolutely despise so much of that. I speak about it a lot, but
I'm beginning to now.
Because the hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, to put in your face, you know, the vulgarity and the violence and the perversion and distorted sexuality. As this priest was writing yesterday in this article, you know, all this stuff is going on now where they're getting caught, you mm-hmm. know, and everybody's coming out of the closet to say so-and-so did this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm. What is not, I don't know, but even as, you know, we are so schizoid in mm-hmm. all of a sudden this puritanical attitude seems to run rampant in society today as if, you know, we're above all that, and yet we're the ones perpetrating mm-hmm. that. We're giving people the license, we're creating the space whereby people, we cater to people's weaknesses, mm-hmm. we cater to their natural inclination to the things of the flesh. And so he was describing a commercial, one of these colognes or whatever, where mm-hmm. the woman is undressing the man. And it's mm-hmm. very seductive. What is not seductive? Everything is seductive.
What does that have to do with cologne?
Yeah.
Honestly. No,
but even cologne is one thing. Like, but you take anything
right.
out there.
Right. It's just,
things that have nothing.
I mean, look at, you know, I tell you, listen, look at the mainstream media and even the mainstream would also be like CNN, Fox News, and all that kind of stuff. But you look at the, you know, and I mean, there's some good people. I don't want to be overly critical, but I'm going to be critical. But look at how they portray especially the women.
Yeah,
how they're portrayed.
And then I don't understand how later on you hear these stories about what's going on. See, I think in a way, as much as I don't like to hear these things, I'm becoming very much aware of things. And I'll tell you this much. I think these things are happening for a reason.
This coming out, this right, all of exposure?
I look at this and I say, there's God working in this. You know, I don't know if it's that, here it's a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do after this? Will people then go back to the same way of business, or will there actually be some kind of change? I'm hopeful that there will be
change.
But see,
simultaneously, as this is all happening, there's this movie about a man and an adolescent boy.
Oh, my.
Who are they? There's a romance or something from what I read. And this has become, and they're raving about this in
which
Hollywood.
Which movie is that?
I forgot the name.
See, I don't watch the news. So
now, I thought about that too. I think I heard a little bit about this, but I mean, again, this will make and break people. Just like, again, when you tell people anything goes, you know, you're at the point where your husband's not good, get another man, or your wife's not good, get another, you know, whatever the case is.
But this is what I'm saying. We've all been affected by this. Right. And so this is where there has to be. Truth and mercy, justice. We got to take a break, and we'll come right back. But it's a very difficult time. But it does what it does for me, at least. Mm-hmm. It makes me realize all the more the wisdom of the church and the truth of God's teachings. Which has endured. Endured the test of time. And so that's what I'm saying, as we go into the new year, this resolution we make to persevere, humility recognizing we need God. We need you to help us out of this mire of this confusion or this sickness. You know, we need your healing grace. And then to surrender, each of us, because we have to begin with ourselves. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, listening to the support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDC.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up. But I just wish everybody a happy new year. We continue to say Merry Christmas because we're still in the Christmas season, the Holy Family, the Feast of the Holy Family. I guess this is what, as I was reading some of the readings for the feast day of the Holy Family, that's the family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And then, of course, on January 1st is the Feast of the Holy Mother of God. This is, it's a new year. It's her day as well, you know. And that's really an affirmation that she gave birth to Jesus, who is God in the flesh. So she, because he is God, she is therefore Mother of God. It's also, you know, the day we pray for peace. And I guess that's it gets back to that, you know, what is peace? Peace isn't necessarily the absence of war. We're not in war, you know, but there's a war within us. There's a battle within us. And I'm saying that sacrificial love, when we give ourselves over to Christ, I've said this many, many times, it's going to cost us something quite beautiful. It's going to cost us our lives. You know, lay down your life, and you will have life. I always go back to the words of St. John the Baptist, I decrease, that he increase. As he increases in me, I increase. I die to myself, that he live. As he lives, I live. I lose myself, that he be found. And in finding him, I find myself. This is what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I have no identity apart from God. God is my identity. And many have found that. And we want people to find themselves in God. But it does cost us something. What does it cost us? It's a dying to falsehood. Mm-hmm. Dying to what is false, what is a lie. And see, in our society today, the lie has taken off in a big way. Mm. So that as we're celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family, I was reading from the book of Sirach, Wisdom Literature, and I thought, people read this today, they think, well, this is certainly an antiquated way of thinking, mm-hmm. that God sets a father in honor over his children, a mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sin, preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children. When he prays, he's heard. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. The problem is that most men don't know their fathers. Most people don't know their fathers. This is part of the crisis in the society, the absence of fatherhood. Mm-hmm. We've yet to deal with the problem, the really grave problem in the African-American community. Nobody wants to touch it. You know, the families are, the fathers are, they're not there. The absence of fatherhood. Not just the African-American community, but in other communities, but there is a horrible suffering. I mean, the violence in Chicago, this is, you know, mm-hmm. people killing people. Black on black. You know, the children can't go to school. Anyway, I'm starting to get off but into another thing, but Holy Family, the Mother of God, what do they have in common? Of course, the Mother of God is in the Holy Family, is that they had their gaze on God, and they lived sacrificial love. They lived to do the will of God, and in doing the will of God, not only were they lifted up, but they served humanity. And that's the question. If we continue breeding narcissism, continue in a very self-centered, self-satisfying, self-indulgent society, where we create greater sickness, and it does grave harm to our children. So as we go into the new year, let us make a resolution to persevere down this narrow path in humility, recognizing we need God, he's not going to hurt us, and surrender and trust, consecrate our lives to God. And in this we are, in a sacred way, very much connected to our ancestors, and we're serving the future, those who come after us. All right, everybody, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is right.